everybody. Good evening. This is the Fakeologist Show. I'm the Fakeologist. I'm the Fakeologist, as many people like to say. It is Tuesday, September 6th, 2022. And this is the show. This is the Tuesday show with the one and only Uncle Vigilante, who is here to represent Epic Cash, the proud sponsor of FakeoTube, FakeoTube.com, our video platform that we have improved this week. And I hope you are enjoying the new speed. We are mirrored in Montreal, New York, Los Angeles, Sydney, Nova Scotia, and Frankenstein, Germany, or something. It's a funny name. Actually, Falsenstein. I looked it up the other day. It's somewhere in Bavaria. Anyway, without further ado, here is Uncle Vigilante, because we got a lot to get through today. So hello, sir.
Hola, everyone. And I just think, Ab, that you should begin your show by saying, telling everyone where you're hailing from. Hailing from behind the Iron Curtain in terrible Canada.
I know. I missed that. I misread my lines. Where's Joe Biden when you need him? Yeah, I misread my lines. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I'm from the North Shore of Lake Ontario. Well, that's my normal script. I'm actually getting tired of that. So,
yeah,
my phaser out.
I just heard for the first time somebody refer to it as the Iron Curtain.
I've never heard that.
I think it was Doug Force this weekend.
Right. That guy's good. Doug Force. I'd love to get him on the show just to talk about Allodial Title and his book, The Myth of Canada.
He is doing a whole tour in Canada. He's going to be speaking all over the place. So,
wow.
Yeah, be on the lookout for that. But hey, everyone, let me go over here. It looks like we are live in my chat or on my channel. So yeah, welcome, everyone. Smash that like button. Hi, Ivan. Ivan is in the chat. He's first. Good on you, Ivan. Okay.
So, Ivan the Terrible?
Ivan the Great.
All right.
Duquesnier? I think it's Duquesnier.
And let me just suggest, I know you have a lot of YouTubers and you have a good YouTube channel, but of course you are the sponsor of FakeoTube and it has been improved. If anyone wants to have their links stick and be clickable, if you go into FakeoTube, just register and verify your email. It's all automatic. It should be. And then if you put any kind of chat in the FakeoTube chat, it will become a comment that's clickable.
So, it will. Mm-hmm. It will. I just put in there, subscribe to FakeoTube.com.
Right.
Christ is in the house. Hi, Christ. You were awesome on the Twitter spaces this last weekend. It was really nice hearing your voice. And I was very energized after you gave your little, I don't know, encouraging. It was just awesome. You're great. Mother Trucker's in the house. So, hey, everyone, let me share with you what I've been doing this week. I have, other than feeding my deer in the backyard, which is my favorite thing in the world to do, we are down from 7 to 5, but I don't know where the other two went, but they'll be back.
It's hunting season.
Yeah.
Probably on someone's plate, venison.
I used to never have an issue with you know, hunting or the thought of going hunting. But after I've been feeding these deer, and now I go out with the corn feed, and they just, there's a fence between me and them, and I just throw the corn over the fence, and now there's one buck that just comes right up to me. He gets within 10 feet.
Uncle Buck?
Uncle Buck. But no, that is my little I don't know. I just love him. But
sir, are you a vegetarian now? Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh, no. I went to Big John's Alabama Barbecue today to get dinner, and it was delicious. So no vegetarian here. I don't eat Z bugs either. But folks, what I've been doing this week is, you know, when I come across things that are of interest to me, be they crypto or not, I just have a little notes file and I put a link or a reference and then I send it to Ab before the show and he gets them all teed up. Yeah. And so tonight is going to be our first shot at this, to where we're going to try to present a little bit more of an organized show versus just a riff, which I always love to do with you. By the way, do you want to share with everyone how they might be able to find you on Discord and maybe join a Saturday morning chat?
Oh, wow. Yeah, you joined in last Saturday. It was great.
Yeah, that was a blast.
Yeah, well, everything from my site should be on fakeologist.com. Fakeologist.com. I don't know if we've added the link to Discord, but if you wanted to go to Discord, I'll put it in the notes here. And fake11.com, the number 11.com /Discord. That's the link to join our Discord. And you just have to verify your voice. That way we can keep some of the bots out. So if you just wait in the intake room, just wait there, ping us. And if you're familiar with Discord, and some moderator will get to you. So you might have to wait up to an hour, but just stay logged in and someone will hit you up. And when you hear hello, hello, then we'll just listen to your voice and you'll be in. But that's if you want to do a quick chat, informal chat. And sometimes I'll show up. I just finished a great chat with Farce Value, a great guy from Texas. And we talked for an hour on all kinds of things. He's been a supporter of Fakeologist for a long time. He's a great commenter. He's a donor. He's everything that we love about Fakeologist. So
now, how do people, what was it? Mm-hmm. So your website, fakeologist.com.
Right. That's right.
Fakeotube.com. So that's a good start.
Yeah.
But for everybody, Ab really works hard at curating videos that you won't see on mainstream news, and that's fakeotube.com. So that's always worth a daily visit. You'll become smarter for it. Yeah. And I wanted to go through, do you have the, from the motivational file video,
this
the
one?
Intro? Yeah, I just want to play this for everyone. It's a little bit, how many minutes is it?
It says 15 minutes. Is that... You want to play the whole thing?
No, let's don't play the whole thing, but maybe you can include in the notes a link to it.
Yeah,
but
just I will.
The first few minutes, you know, when I started listening to it, I'm like, man, this dude needs to be a head football coach. But it motivated me, so I wanted to share with the group. You want to go ahead and play it?
Here changes the world. I have a few suggestions that may help you on your way to a better world. And while these lessons were learned during my time in the military, I can assure you that it matters not whether you ever served a day in uniform. It matters not your gender, your ethnic or religious background, your orientation, or your social status. Our struggles in this world are similar, and the lessons to overcome those struggles and to move forward, changing ourselves and changing the world around us, will apply equally to all. So here are the 10 lessons I learned from basic SEAL training that hopefully will be of value to you as you move forward in life. Every morning in SEAL training, my instructors, who at the time were all Vietnam veterans, would show up in my barracks room, and the first thing they'd do was inspect my bed. If you did it right, the corners would be square, the covers would be pulled tight, the pillow centered just under the headboard, and the extra blanket folded neatly at the foot of the rack. It was a simple task, mundane at best, but every morning we were required to make our bed to perfection. It seemed a little ridiculous at the time, particularly in light of the fact that we were aspiring to be real warriors, tough, battle-hardened SEALs. But the wisdom of this simple act has been proven to me many times over. If you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. It will give you a small sense of pride, and it will encourage you to do another task, and another, and another. And by the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed. Making your bed will also reinforce the fact that the little things in life matter. If you can't do the little things right, you'll never be able to do the big things right. And if by chance you have a miserable day, you will come home to a bed that is made, that you made. And a made bed gives you encouragement that tomorrow will be better. So if you want to change the world, start off by making your bed. During training, the students are all broken down into boat crews. Each crew is seven students, three on each side of a small rubber boat, and one coxswain to help guide the dinghy. Every day, your boat crew forms up on the beach and is instructed to get through the surf zone and paddle several miles down the coast. In the winter, the surf off San Diego can get to be 8 to 10 feet high, and it is exceedingly difficult to paddle through the plunging surf unless everyone digs in. Every paddle must be synchronized to the stroke count of the coxswain. Everyone must exert equal effort, or the boat will turn against the wave and be unceremoniously dumped back on the beach. For the boat to make it to its destination, everyone must paddle. You can't change the world alone. You will need some help. And to truly get from your starting point to your destination takes friends, colleagues, the goodwill of strangers, and a strong coxswain to guide you. If you want to change the world, find someone to help you paddle.
All right, that's good.
All right, that's very good. That's very inspirational.
And the reason why I like that is when he started talking about rowing the boat, we're very fond within the Epic Cache community of talking about putting your oar in the water. We are a community-based project, so it is literally my favorite line I heard one time is somebody was in the chat and they were saying, oh, you should do this or you should do that. And somebody said, excuse me, but I just noticed that your oar is not wet. Basically, you know, don't come in here and be an ankle biter. Why don't you go out and do something? Which leads me to from the motivational file number 2. Can you pull up the next video, Ab? Not that one. Right there. This is very brief, but I want everybody to watch this. This is somebody getting their oar wet in Turkey. Batuhan.
Wow.
Did you see that at the end?
Yeah. Play that again. I can't, but I can pause it. There we go.
So here's a guy who sponsored basically a gaming event to where he had all of these gamers meet at this. I guess there are these hot spots to where people can go game. And so he sponsored it and he did all of this and he educated everyone on Epic Cache and set everybody up with wallets and everything. And that's, you know, how we build this community, one member at a time. And one of the things that I am really, really proud of the community is that we recently went through a community fundraise and translated two very important documents into 62, I believe, different languages to where you could sponsor a country for 93 Epic. So I sponsored a few countries. Other people sponsored a few countries. Some sponsored one, but the fact is we did it. So, you know, if you want to achieve mass adoption, you need to appeal to the masses. And believe it or not, many of them don't speak English as their native language. So really excited about that. Now the price chart, if you can pull it up, this all manifests into one nice visual here. This was taken today, and this is the year-over-year snapshot. And I want everybody to just really take a look at this. If you would have invested in BTC $1,000, what is that? I can't really read
it. It's minus 62%, so you wouldn't. Yeah.
62%. Yeah, you'd have $380.
All right.
And if you'd have $382. If you would have invested in Epic Cash that same $1,000, you'd have almost $2,000. So that's like 5x just that decision alone. So while the entire market, I mean, I'm talking about all asset classes. Tesla's hanging in at what, plus 8%? Is that what I'm reading?
Yeah.
Everything else. I mean, Netflix, Apple. I mean,
Apple's done pretty well, minus one. So it's done pretty well for stocks. Yeah.
But isn't that a sad, you know, statement? It's done pretty well. It's minus one year over year. Yay, you lost money. But we're up 95% in a veritable shitstorm out there. And so this is really, really important to be able to, you know, take the temperature and take the pulse. And what does this mean? This just means that we have a tremendous organic community to where everyone's putting their oar in the water and you haven't seen anything yet. This weekend, I was on a 2-hour conversation where we were going through a dry run. We're in the process of raising $21 million for Freeman Express. And we recorded that dry run. And then Spencer did his Spencer magic. And he went back and he took all of the feedback. And then he did a recording over the presentation, the investor's presentation, with his amazing voice, walking people through the presentation, and it's 27 minutes and it is amazing. And so now it is, it will end up being, we're building freeman.net and there'll be an investors section to where you need a password to be able to get to that information and the supporting model. But everybody, I mean, you show me another project in cryptocurrency that is developing like we are. And we have done it from nothing, just community support. But now when we end up getting turbocharged to be able to build out the rest of the ecosystem, we will absolutely be cooking with gas. And I mean, I think this number can end up being sick to where you're talking, you know, 1,000% up. So that motivates me from the motivational file. Now, from the demotivational file, if you want to pull up from the BTC transparent blockchain file, let's take a look at that. Everybody, this is what you're, this is really important. And I'm going to do a lot of reading right here, but this is what happens when you are engaged with a surveillance chain, which BTC, Bitcoin Core, is a surveillance chain. Everything done on BTC, on that blockchain, is surveilled by three-letter agencies. There isn't a thing that you can do where it is private. So here, let's go through this thread. I'm just going to be reading it. This is this freerisen.eth. So hey, I'm going offline for an indeterminate amount of time. I'm headed down to Beaumont FCI, where Uncle Sam will be footing the bill for my room and board for the next 6 to 15 months for a crime of selling Bitcoin a few years ago. And he continues on this. You read that right. Did you know that transacting Bitcoin peer-to-peer is a federal crime punishable with up to 5 years imprisonment? I didn't either. And then he shows the code. As interpreted by FinCEN back in the middle of 2019, says that you must register federally to do so. If you only kind of sort of know me, you may know that I've been in the crypto and Bitcoin space since 2011. One of the ways which I learned to network in the space was to put up an ad on the OTC trading boards offering Bitcoin for sale. When I was full-time journalist, it was a great way to learn who Bitcoiners were at any point. When I moved towards consulting, it was a great lead gen. When the pandemic hit, I sold my business in 2019. It was a pretty great way to make ends meet while I found my next thing. I've always been just one of hundreds of thousands of OTC traders on the websites like Paxful and Local Bitcoins, one of the 100 or so site users I regularly dealt with at a time, as it turns out, was being used as a mule in a lottery scam. So he transacted with a third party who he didn't know who they were, but they were engaged in something that was illegal, a scam. On October 23rd, I was raided by 15 armed agents who waved guns and search warrants in the faces of my family and proceeded to question us for 5 to 6 hours and walked out with about $60,000 worth of my property, mostly electronics, laptops, phones. After speaking transparently with agents, I thought that this was going to be the end of it. I was not involved with my client's fraud. But 2 months later, the agents returned with a target letter imploring me to come in and speak with the U.S. Attorney's Office. Whoops. I just totally missed.
Wow, this is crazy.
After speaking with transparent, there we go. I proceeded to engage in the reverse proffer and proffer meeting. I was told that they had enough evidence to convict me of my client's fraud. But being because my wife shared the bank account with me, my wife as well, this would be 35 years imprisonment for both of us. This was clearly a scare tactic to push me into taking the plea deal they were offering. But I was very clear with them that there was no world in which I was taking a plea deal that would implicated my wife. She was uninvolved despite her, their allegations, and we have kids to think of. They caved on that. And in return for taking my wife off the table, I accepted the plea agreement. There's a lot more to say in this case, and I probably will say more at some point. But what I'd like my case to highlight are two things: the encroaching state war on privacy and the general brokenness of the criminal justice system. As I write these words, Texas and other states are pushing BTC adoption, literally manufacturing felons. I have to wonder if I'll fall into the trap like those who, I have to wonder if I will fall into the trap like those who get caught with weed while nationwide legalization efforts take place, serving time for something now legal. Anyway, I won't go through more of that, but I just, this is, man, if you're going to invest in cryptocurrency, please, please go to epic.tech and learn about the hardest money in the world, the most private money in the world. Thank you, Mimblewimble. Because look, it's not what you do today. 2 years from now, they will be able to go back and take a look at everything on that blockchain if you're holding BTC. And if somebody that you dealt with was engaged in anything criminal or a scam like this, there are implications for you. So if it is me, I am taking my BTC, I'm getting a Vite multi-wallet exchange, and I'm going to go trade that for Epic Cash. Not investment advice, but I think good sage counsel. So, all right. So from the right idea, wrong coin file, let's go to Michael Saylor. Can you read that? What's Michael Saylor saying?
It says waiting for hashtag Bitcoin, but yeah, can I go back to the last thing?
Yeah, please. So
it just seems like my guess is on this, and without reading the case, I think he's got quite a bit here to go into if you want to follow up on it. But it seems to me that he was selling Bitcoin without being registered. So he could have been selling any security. And if he didn't register with, I guess, some authority, federal authority, then it just considered him selling illegally, I'm guessing. So in other words, he was exchanging cash, I guess, who some guy was scamming somebody or in a lottery, which is normally the government's job to scam people for the lottery. And he was converting it into Bitcoin. So I guess they didn't like that he wasn't licensed to do it.
Do you know how local Bitcoins works?
I have no idea. No, I'm pretty ignorant.
So that's a way for people who are really, really, this is what's so ironic about this, are really concerned about their privacy.
Right.
And they want Bitcoin and they don't want to go through the KYC to get on an exchange.
Oh,
they
I just see.
Have their Bitcoin. You can go to local Bitcoins and there it's basically, I can't remember who they modeled it after, but you know, it's
kind of like a Craigslist of,
yeah, it's a Craigslist of, but it's honor system. So it started to where, Ab, you may want to buy $1,000 worth of Bitcoin and I'll say, okay, you send me 1,000 cash and I will respond and I'll send
you
Bitcoin.
Right.
That takes some trust on your side, right? But over time, there became people would rate, kind of like an Uber driver. They would rate the Bitcoin sellers. Now, the Bitcoin sellers would usually make between 5 to 10% as a fee on that transaction. So if you sent me $1,000, you may get $950 worth of Bitcoin back.
Yeah, I see.
But
I get it.
Yeah, the thought was, for those who don't get it, is that it's a private peer-to-peer exchange. And what they're saying now is to do that,
you should be registered. Well, the government just wants to keep track of anyone who's, it could be considered money laundering. If you're turning cash into another commodity or currency, they just want to know where it came from. That's the main thing. That's my guess as to why it's like that.
Of course, they want their fingers into everything. Mm-hmm. But if
someone was selling any coin, Bitcoin or anything, if a government agent came up, is Epic Cash on any one of these local Bitcoin type exchanges? That's the question. Because the thing is, if you're selling anything, including real estate, if someone just comes up to you and says, here's $1 million, I want to buy that house. If you're not registered, then that could be considered money laundering, don't you think?
Keep in mind, this is the wild, wild west in mm-hmm. crypto, right? So there are no laws for this.
Right.
They declared that Ethereum and Bitcoin were not securities.
Right.
So this is where they're making up shit as they go.
Well, they just found another department or three-letter agency that could cover this. So you're right. There's no direct law regulating it. So they just found some other alphabet agency that could apply their rules and regulations to go after them. I guess that's what happened.
His reference that it was being used by a mule in a lottery scam.
Right. And it could have been a Fed.
It could have very well been a Fed.
Right. They just had some money and maybe the law was retroactive. That's sort of the impression I get. It was a little retroactive. So they didn't at the time know what to charge him with or who was going to cover that. And then after time, they figured out how they could do it. And they just sounds like they just went back through the books. And I guess
it's a transparent surveillance chain.
But I would just say in this case they probably just looked him up on local bitcoins and
people who are on local Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It could have been a Fed. I mean, because then everything happens. It doesn't happen right there. Like you're not exchanging your address and everything right there.
Right.
But put it this way: if Epic was on there doing that, the transactions are invisible. So we aren't. But you know, it's not to say that there isn't OTC going on amongst peers. But you know, it's anyway. For me, it's reason number 976 to pivot out of Bitcoin into Epic Cash. So Michael Saylor agreed. He said waiting for Bitcoin. And after I saw that, I then learned that Michael is preparing for his next job. Do you have that teed up?
Yeah, but what does this mean, this tweet? Are you explaining that? What does he mean waiting for? Who is Michael Saylor again?
Michael Saylor is the dude that... what's the name of his company? Somebody in the chat will tell me. But he basically took his company's treasury and bet it all on Bitcoin. So he's been like the biggest evangelist over the last 18 months since he started doing that. And that was all great as Epic Cash was going up, 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 up. But as it's going down, he had to step down as CEO. And now he's just in this position to where if his holdings go to, I believe, 13th, if BTC goes to 13,000 a coin, his billions get liquidated. So he's waiting for Bitcoin to go up. But I don't think it's going to. But here's Michael at his next job. Watch this. I saw that and I'm like, that's Michael Saylor waiting for Bitcoin. Oh. Oh, that poor guy. Play that again for people that might not know. So here's a dude getting a beekeeper. bee nest or wasp nest or whatever, and he's doing his thing, and he just wants to jiggle it off, and it goes right on his head.
And it knocks his hat off. Yeah.
Gosh, that's terrible.
Yeah, we got lots of wasps around here right now this time of year, and they are stinging right now, so they're nasty.
Oh, man, I'm so allergic to wasps.
Oh, are you? It's,
Yeah. If I get stung in the neck or anywhere in the, it's like I got to get an EpiPen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just swell up like crazy. So, all right, let's go to the next one from the self-identification file. Bank of America is so 2008. So Bank of America announces zero down payment, zero closing cost mortgages for first time home buyers in Black and Hispanic communities nationwide. And go ahead and scroll down.
What could go wrong there?
I can't read it, but you know, this is so 2008.
Here, I'll make it big for you. Can you see that?
Yeah. But basically everybody, if there are many of you listening who will remember the crisis of 2008 and what led up to that. What led up to that was the banks were offering these no down payment.
Was it subprime mortgages?
Yeah, the subprime mortgages. Yeah. No down payment, and you didn't have to verify that you had any income. And you know, the Druid Babylonian bastards have a master plan. And while history doesn't repeat itself, it often rhymes. And I think they're working up a rhyme here. Because if you read this entire article, and maybe you can put it in the show notes.
I'll put this one in the show notes. No problem.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
you're
put
welcome.
All the links in the show notes if you don't
mind. Oh, you want them all in? Okay.
Yeah, sure. And then, but what they're doing is they're basically given, you know, a demographic that might not get qualified otherwise, these no down payment loans, and they don't have any, they're not obligated for private mortgage insurance on them either. So, you know, that adds to the payment, but then if they go default, then, you know, insurance would take over. Well, I know what they're doing here, and I am no Stratatus, and I will tell you that, they're setting this up for the same damn thing to where you've heard of too big to fail. They're going to, from the goodness of their hearts, they're going to set up all of these people who are not qualified to own these homes. They're going to set them up to fail. And what's going to happen is these folks will end up going into default. And then who's going to swoop in and buy them? BlackRock. And then who's going to bail out Bank of America? The government. You guys, I'm just putting it out here.
Right.
We lived through this in 2008. It is the same story, you know, on repeat. So just mark my words. If you are a potential home buyer, just be patient for maybe another 5 years and then you can go swoop in. Cause I remember after 2008, man, I mean, home prices like were cut in half. It was crazy. So,
but this might be a little different if I could butt in here for a minute.
Yeah, sure.
And that is if the CBDC is going to come into play.
Okay.
There will be no Bank of America. It's just going to be the Fed. That's how this thing is going. And I can't remember the guy's name on YouTube that I was following a month ago. He does videos. I think you might know who that is, but I can't remember his name off the top of my head, who does these kind of talks. And they are going to eliminate the banks. So this kind of biased lending, where they're trying to make everyone equal and reverse the ills of the past, this kind of thing will be done directly by the CBDC. And because they control all the money, they will be able to throw around their weight, because part of the Agenda 21 SDG, Sustainable Development Goals, where they're going to try and fix all the ills of society, including discrimination. They're going to use money as the lever to right all these past wrongs, which is what this is trying to do. They're trying to say that in the past, these people were discriminated against. And it doesn't really make sense because a bank will loan money to anyone who they know they can make money off. So I don't think it's necessarily discriminatory, but whatever the case, I just think the Bank of America and all the other banks, they're going to disappear anyhow. And this is the kind of these are the kind of programs the CBDC are going to try and achieve. Just that is the long-term goal. So yeah, the taxpayers were always on the hook for it, but I think this is going to be the difference between the future and say 2008.
It could be, but what's going to happen is people are going to lose their homes and right. And then
they're going to become renters again. But yes, someone will swoop in and make the killing from all these defaults. Yeah.
Yep. So that's something to look forward to. All right, let's go to from the monetizing your immune system file. Mm-hmm. The beginning, I just want you to hear the beginning of I want you to hear the whole thing. But then, Ab, I want to ask you a question after this. But this little bit at the first, they're just ending up their show. And then she goes into a little infomercial. And that's what I want us to focus on.
All right. Why did I get a exclamation point? Let me reload this again. I got an exclamation point.
CCP,
bad boy.
That we're pushing out a lot of this data. Basically, under the storyline, at least this is this version of the narrative, under the storyline that the CCP had lost control in managing the outbreak in Wuhan.
Earlier this summer, we lost an absolute giant in the fight for medical freedom when Dr. Vladimir Zelenko lost his battle with cancer. But while he lost his battle with cancer, we will win this war against medical tyranny, and we'll do that by continuing to speak the truth. But before he passed, Dr. Zelenko founded the Zelenko Freedom Foundation to be the stewards of his legacy and to continue to carry on his critical work. To fund the foundation, Dr. Zelenko directed that 10% of the proceeds from the sales of his immune-boosting supplements will go to his foundation. You can continue to supercharge your immune system and support the Zelenko Freedom Foundation by visiting the link in the description below.
We can stop this commercial. If you want to supercharge your system, eat properly. I don't think you need to buy his snake oil.
Exactly. I wanted to ask what you thought of that. It's like, this is, you know, I was listening to the content prior and I thought it was pretty good. And then when they went into this, I'm like, Jesus, not another one. I mean,
they're all selling superfoods and super juice and snake oil. Haven't we had enough of these? And it really discredits their whole message, doesn't it?
It really discredits it. And I knew you would feel the same way. It's like, once I heard that, and she's like, oh, you can supercharge your immune system and 10%
of and obviously, Dr. Zelenko, was he taking his own stuff? Because he's not here anymore, according to... or maybe he was taking his own stuff. Either way, it doesn't look good that he's not here, right? Either way, he loses.
Yeah.
If you think about it logically, which I love to do.
Who's the dude that does the Health Ranger report?
Mike Adams, yeah.
Yeah, so... He's another one. I like listening to him, but then he just pivots into, you know, just, well.
Bye. Tangy tangerine.
Yeah. So then, I mean, I find that I don't want to listen to it anymore because of all of that. And I don't know, man. I just get torn. And I know people have to support themselves and such. But this one really hit me because I'm like, yeah, so he died of cancer. And by the way, if you order before midnight tonight, you can boost your immune system.
And hopefully not die of cancer like the guy that founded this company did. Like he should be alive today still to tell us about his great tangy tangerine the secret sauce. But where is he now? 6 feet under.
So this one is going to tickle some people's autism who believes we went to the moon. From the NASA is FAF file. Now let's go to the video. Okay. I don't know if you can enlarge that at all.
Good try.
But yeah, if you could enlarge that, I want everyone to watch this. This is how they fool those who cannot critically think. This is how they actually film all of the space station BS.
Yeah. Let me just, maybe it doesn't like to play when it's too big. I don't know. Let's go. Hold on a sec. Okay, here we go.
That's so cool. You are so much better of an astronaut, Paige, than those other fakes.
Thank you. And now it's done. Hungry in space. That it? Gonna have your floating Fritos to munch on. So I don't
want to
give GMOs any publicity, but it's all we had hanging around.
So he grabbed it with his hand. He's in wearing green, I guess. He's in that's the green screen. Yeah.
This is what they do, and they get billions and billions of dollars to be able to do green screen work and make it look. This is fun right here. Watch it.
Yeah, let's keep pushing up and down and around. Pull it back toward. Oh,
wow.
Push it that way.
That's how it's done, folks. You saw it here.
Yeah, they've got a lot of great techniques for simulating all this so-called weightlessness. Apparently, there's some kind of we good on this?
Yeah, we're good.
I think they have some kind of contact lenses that the astronauts wear. I don't know what the heck is on the contact lens. If there's some kind of electronics where they can see the thing floating around, if it's CGI in their lenses, even though it's not physically there. So that's another level where this is pretty crude special effects. But I think it's moved past this to some more high-tech special effects with the contact lenses. So there's that's what they spend their money on, and I'm guessing that they lend the technology to the movie companies, so once they develop some good special effects, they just maybe...
That's interesting.
It's Hollywood, man. Hollywood South, it's all Hollyweird, but... And are you following the Artemis thing, which is another sort of...
No.
The
BS... launch?
Yeah, the launch. Guess what? It's delayed again. They're just going to keep delaying it. And all they're doing is sort of milking the anticipation of the whole moon launch thingy. And
I remember when I was younger and my daughters were like maybe, four.
Yeah, six. Did you scoot over there?
We scooted over there and we went and we were there. It was hot as balls and we were waiting for the launch and waited all day and we were just hot and the kids were young enough. My 4-year-old was just miserable and it was just not great. And
it's then a they swamp over there, isn't it? Swamp land?
They scratched it at the last minute. I was so pissed off. And we came back the next day and went through the same drill. They scratched it again. And I'm like, I'm done. And then when I learned the truth, ultimately I was so mad. I'm like, I wasted 2 days of my life, it was horrible. So, let's go to, from the swinging by the neck file, GB News.
Yeah, this isn't a bad, outlet. Mark Stein is on it and I really like Mark Stein. He's from
he's
25
great.
Years ago. I used to read him. He's been doing this a long time. He's always been sort of the prickly conservative guy.
Yeah, he's good. He was on Fox a lot, but
because you sort of supposedly are meant to grow up with this idea that you're the center of the world,
you don't have to do that.
Yep. Oh, that's live, actually.
Yeah. Let's go back to the top.
Okay,
I want to read it. Scottish mountain bike champion Rab Wardell dies in his sleep, age 37. Asleep, aged 37. That's weird. Aged 37 days after winning elite title. That's a really bad headline.
Yeah, really. Yeah, it's not good.
Died in his sleep, aged 37 days after winning elite title. And if you go down, you can just see it. So here you have one of the most fittest men on the planet, right? Yeah. 37 years old. And he dies, and I'm sure it may have something to do with myocarditis or
any kind of clot.
Yeah, but this is, I read that, and I mean, you being a fakeologist, you read more of this and hear more of this than I do because I'm just not that tuned in.
Yes.
But it is just amazing how many young people are dying, and you know,
died suddenly. I do a show every Thursday with Tiago. Almost 200,000 people in the private Facebook group called Died Suddenly. He renamed it a couple weeks ago for marketing purposes, and clearly it was a great marketing move. Mm-hmm. I don't know, and it's been all over the place. All the alternative media people have been talking about it. So he's getting tons of referrals, almost 20,000 new applications to the private group every day. I don't know how the heck he can keep up with that. That's crazy. And Facebook has left it alone. Not sure why, but he's very careful what he puts up there. He doesn't talk about alternative treatments. He doesn't talk about the vaccine. He doesn't talk about any of the details around it. He just, now I think he's only curating people's personal stories of damage and injury. I guess for some reason, Facebook can delete anyone for any reason. It's a private platform. Just like I can delete any video off FakoTube I want. It's my platform.
Yep.
But why Facebook is allowing this to grow, because it's not a secret in any way.
Right. Not 200,000.
Yeah. So it's huge. We did a call in show last Thursday. Right. We had quite a few people calling in once we got warmed up, and the stories are pretty miserable. All of them. It doesn't uplift you in any way listening to these terrible stories of injury. And Tiago's also a cyclist himself.
Would you agree with me that the evidence is just overwhelming that, and I'm sure he has the stats, but it's...
Everyone has the stats. The stats are coming out everywhere. And the question is, why aren't people making the connection? I know the government officially is not making any connection, and they're not doing autopsies, and they're not trying to stop this. Why would they? They're the perps. But there's enough evidence for the average person to put two and two together. The only thing that's being left out is it's not officially acknowledged that this is the problem. Like, if it was any other drug, it would be stopped immediately. Yeah. And so you have to ask two questions. Why are they ignoring it? And why do they keep perpetuating this? And the obvious answer is they're not your friends. They're not here to help you. And that really hurts a lot of people. It really blows their world in half, or to pieces, rather.
It does. I was listening to a podcast today. I like my football podcasts, and they're a running back from Green Bay Packers up near you.
Okay.
Wisconsin. He was telling the story about how last year, now the NFL, obviously it was a mandatory jab to play. And so he ended up getting really, really sick, and he missed 6 games at the end of the season due to COVID. You know, so I'm in my, and he was saying, yeah, man, I was really, really sick. It was just amazing. And then he let it not slip. He just said, and he's totally clueless, right? To what just everything else that's going on, obviously. But he's like, yeah, it was just crazy. I came down with myocarditis. That's right. What kept him out for the 6 games. He's back now. So good on him. I hope that you know, he's healthy. But it was just amazing to me.
Well, I don't think he's going to ever recover from myocarditis, because what it is it's damaged heart tissue. And anytime your body replaces tissue, it's not the exact same tissue. It's scar tissue. Obviously, when you cut yourself in your hand, you know that the skin that grows back is not the exact.
What is myocarditis?
Inflammation of the heart. The sac holding the heart. So it's pretty critical to heart function. And when those cells are replaced with scar tissue or replacement cells, they just do not do the same job as the original tissue. So this is super serious, of course. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, even if you were really afraid of the boogie virus, you really were convinced that this was going to help you, if I told you, okay, this could avoid getting really sick or have a bad cold or the flu that may kill you one in a thousand times. If I told you the risk was it could damage your heart at a much higher rate than the risk of solving your problems with the flu, I'm pretty sure you'd say, I think I'll take my chances based on the numbers.
That's right.
That's a pretty easy decision.
Yeah.
Especially really easy.
When the mama bears come out, if they were told that, right, are they going to be letting their children get jabbed? I don't think so.
No, no.
But boy, what a marketing campaign it was, man.
Still is. Still going.
Yeah, that's true. Well, speaking of that, let's go to the collapse of civilization file. For those of you who don't know who Vox Day is, if you just...
Great blogger. Yeah, I like the guy.
What's the URL? It's too small for me to see.
It's voxday.net. Voxday.net.
Everyone do yourself a favor. Go subscribe to this daily blog.
Who is he? Is he a Christian conservative blogger? Is that the best description?
Christian conservative blogger. He was he's an economist, and he had a what's it called when you write an article and multiple papers pick it up?
Syndicated columnist.
Yeah, he's a syndicated columnist for years, and he's so smart. His IQ is 160.
Right.
And he called everything. I mean, he lived in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and then he ended up moving to Italy, he and his wife, and has never come back.
Oh, okay. I didn't know he's in Italy. Interesting.
But he is, people who know the bears out there, Owen Benjamin and whatnot. So Vox Day did what you did, decided instead of, when he got deplatformed from all of these different places, he ended up creating unauthorized.tv, which is their own platform.
Right.
And so he just keeps building these, this competitive tech to everything that's out there. But the inevitable end of the empire was an article. It's too small for me to read.
I'm making it big.
Okay. It's still too small from where I'm looking, but okay. Maybe you could drop a link. I just want people.
Yeah. All the links will be in tonight's show notes.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can back me up on this.
Vox, yeah, I like them.
Vox Day just, he articulates things so well, and he's telling us the future every day in his blog, and especially how civilizations collapse. He is a historian, a really, really good one. He's a novelist.
An artist? Is this his art that he puts on his blog as well? There's quite a bit of art.
But he's a publisher. He did publish my book, Zammy the Giant Sheepadoodle.
He published your book?
Yeah, he sure did. So anybody wants to go to, can you go to Amazon.com here?
Yeah, I will.
Amazon and search. Once you do.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. Hold on.
On the screen?
Second. Yeah, there hold we
go. Uh huh.
And we're looking up your book.
Yeah. Type in, why isn't it showing Amazon?
It's slow. You got to relax. Sometimes the internet isn't instant. It's been pretty good tonight, so just give it a sec. Maybe all Amazon's right. Busy. Zammy that, pup?
No, go Zammy the Giant Sheepadoodle.
Uh-huh. Sheep doodle. Why isn't it suggesting?
Zammy's, there we go.
This right one here? There.
Yeah, click on that bad boy.
Okay.
Can you click on the thumbnail? To enlarge it?
Do you want more large?
What's it say down there?
This is by Todd Pittner. Is that you?
That's me.
Illustrated by Lisa Marie Presley.
He was amazing. So Zammy is a famous Instagram dog, Zammy Pup, and he is a children's hospital therapy dog. He's just a giant dog. And so I was inspired to write this. All of the characters in the story are based on real kids that we would meet weekly. Ginger Giraffe, Tommy Two Wheels, etc. And I really wrote the book for the kids in the hospital. And but it's still for sale. The Adventures of Zammy, the Giant Sheepadoodle. And Vox Day published that. He thought it, his wife follows Zammy. He has like 135,000 followers. And his wife follows Zammy and told Vox about me. And somehow I ended up getting connected with Vox, and I had this idea of publishing this book, and I knew he was a publisher, and I asked if he would do it. And he did it only because his wife loves Zammy so much. But it was nice. So he made it painless. And so that's a connect I have with, you know, someone with 160 IQ. But it's a good book. If people have kids, you know.
You recommend it? Is it selling well? Can you tell? Or?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't checked anything for, you know, the problem was when I published it was right before COVID hit. And then once COVID hit, they stopped all volunteer work at hospitals. You couldn't take pet therapy. You couldn't take pets in. And so Zammy literally, COVID retired Zammy. And it really, really is upsetting because we would go on Monday mornings, every Monday morning, and these kids and their parents, they would schedule their kids for Monday mornings just to be able to see Zammy. And it just sucks. I mean, that's some of the, you know, the collateral damage of what the Druid Babylonian bastards have done. Do you think there's ever going to be a Nuremberg type trial?
I don't. Nuremberg, I think, was a bit of a fraud anyway, because the real bad boys got away with it, and a couple Fall Guys may have went down or may have simulated went down. I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see anyone swinging from rope. So I think everyone talking about that, they're dreaming. The guys in control have never left. The so-called Nazis, never disappeared. The U.S. imported them. That's a story that you may want to believe or not believe, but we saw a bunch of Germans here, including Wernher von Braun, who went into the so-called rocket program.
And that was called the what project? The Project Mach?
Project. I'm trying to remember right now. But whatever it was, they brought them in. I think the Soviets got maybe some of the hardware and we got the brainware, that kind of thing. But no, exactly. I don't buy it at all. You know, they didn't go away. The same old people running the show. They just transmorphed and changed their names. And I think some of them went down to South America. Some of the more notorious ones, including the guy playing Hitler. And I think the guys at the top always get away with it. That's the whole point of this.
Yeah.
We get fooled. The great majority gets fooled. And only at this time in 2022, when we have the technology to talk to each other, can we actually try and start to figure out this control grid that's been going on for hundreds, if not thousands of years.
And then they stopped us, right? They started censoring everything because there was a season where the internet was just fantastic.
I still think it's fantastic. I don't really have a problem with the internet. We're still talking. You and I are talking. We can email. We can easily figure out ways around things. Water always finds the easiest way. We work around it. You know, you can't dam a river. I've said we're in an infodemic now. It's not a pandemic of this boogie virus. This is an infodemic. Yeah. The information is out of control. You can't put a lid on it. We're talking about it. We're talking about alternative currencies and systems. Yep. They can't put the genie back in the bottle. They can only steer the river. They can't stop it. So if they want to steer it their way, they can try.
Yeah. It's Operation Paperclip. Thank you,
Norman. That's Paperclip, yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, you're promoting Epic Cash, and it's got some unique features, and they're gonna try and stop all the alternatives. They want everyone in their CBDC because that currency has so much in it to control people. It's least function is money. because they don't want you accumulating money.
No.
They want you buying their bugs and not buying meat. They don't want you on their planes if you don't have enough carbon credits in your CBDC. This thing is going to be loaded with technology that controls you.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Looking for the chat, Michael Saylor, CEO of MicroStrategy. So thank you.
Oh, okay. I don't even know what that company did.
So, all right. Well, Max, first of all, before, why don't you pull up your Epic donation?
All right.
Right. And
I do have my tip jar or my tip bot all set up as well. Thanks to you.
And what is your, in Telegram, what is,
I'm a fakeologist. I am a fakeologist. Yeah, that's a pretty cool bot. I think if you just type in tip and a number and my name, three words, boom, it's just, you need a Veet wallet.
Yeah.
No, do you need a Veet wallet? No, you don't.
Yes. You need,
you need a tip bot wallet.
Yeah, but needs to be connected to your Veet wallet. Veet wallet.
Right. So
you need.
Well, actually, it's a separate wallet. So you can send money in and out of your TipBot wallet. So you have to send it to your Veet wallet if you want it out. And he recommends don't keep anything in the tip wallet. Just keep a small amount.
Right. But you need to be able to have Epic to be able to use to fund your.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So you need to send money to it to fund. Right. I gotcha. So it's a Veet to Veet system right there.
So anyone watching this right now, you can just open up your Veet wallet and go to Epic.
And your heart.
And your heart and hit send. And then there's that little
E
dash to the right and you press it. And the third one down is a QR code and you can just point your phone right at that and it'll get Ab's address and voila. It's a great way to support Ab. He does yeoman's work.
Thank you.
EcoTube and sponsoring, I sponsor you, but you host this and this makes for fun, good content.
That's good. You were very prepared tonight. We started the show. There were no technical glitches. Everything went out really without a hitch. It was really well done.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it's been about an hour and I think that's most people's breaking point.
So I want to give a special announcement tomorrow for those listening. Tomorrow at noon is going to probably be the most important, best live stream that I've ever done.
Wow.
I am going to have a fireside chat with Todd Lewis, lead tech engineer on Epic Cash, and Max Freeman, founder of Epic Cash. Those are the two that started it all. And it's going to be a fireside chat taking us back through time, through the journey of them coming up with the idea. And they're going to take us back to the beginning and talk about, the flashpoint and just give us a history lesson on the development of Epic Cash and why it is so great and meaningful to them from the words of the founders' mouths. It's going to be awesome. They're really excited about it. I'm excited about it. I told them, I said, I would love to have one video where I could just point people to and say, hey, if you're interested in Epic, why don't you hear from the horse's mouth, so to speak? Why don't you hear from the guys that started it all? I did a fireside chat with them and let them riff on, why Epic Cash? What was their vision? What problems were they trying to solve? And it's just going to be great. I'm super excited about it. So everybody, noon Eastern tomorrow, please come in, smash that like button. Thank you, everybody in the chat tonight for showing up. You guys rock. You always do. And Ab, I thank you. This was fun tonight. Really appreciate this every week. And that's all I have, man. I'm going to go eat some dinner after this.
Okay. Well done. Yeah. You were on fire today and well prepared. Very interesting show. Thank you so much. Looks like Bitcoin just crashed through 19,000 tonight.
Ooh.
I heard Tiago tells us the floor is $9,000.
$9,000. Yeah.
That's where he said there's a big buy order.
a huge buy order, right?
No, it's dragging. I think as the market, as Bitcoin goes, almost everything goes the same way. Pretty much. Hey, it's as, so.
As you say that, could you put one last picture up? You know, our price chart.
The price chart.
I want to introduce you to a crypto that's swimming against the current.
Let me find the damn thing. Where is it? I'm just going through everything. There it is.
There you go. Hey, what did you say? Bitcoin's pulling everything down. Excuse me, except Epic Cash up 95% year over year. All right, everyone.
Take care.
That note. Cheers.
All right, I'll vote.